Our second scripture reading comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. This ends the scripture reading. I want to say thank you to the committee for asking me to speak, and to thank God for the opportunity and the ability to do so. Our Creator has blessed each of us with a variety of gifts. What I'm going to focus on are two that are mentioned in our scripture, and which we all have: the gifts of crying, weeping, it says in there, and laughing. Several years ago, there was an organization formed called Promise Keepers, where thousands of men gather in stadiums and arenas across the country to sing, pray, and listen to inspirational and motivational speakers. While I don't always agree with their philosophy and theology, I do believe one good thing came out of it, and that is that they teach men that it's okay to cry. I grew up in a time when men weren't supposed to cry, no matter what. And I say, phooey. Crying is a tremendous stress reliever. We read in John 11:35 that even Jesus cried when he found out Lazarus had died. We cry as babies when we're uncomfortable and have no other way to communicate. We cry as children when we get skinned knees and other assorted owies. And as youth, when our hearts are broken by our first romantic breakup. We cry at the loss of a close friend, and especially the loss of a family member. In 1987, at the age of 48, my older sister Carol died of cancer. That hurt a lot. It still hurts today. I miss her terribly. Crying doesn't take away the pain, but it does help us to cope with it. In May of 1996, Sandy and I were visiting my mother in the nursing home in Oregon City, where she had been for quite some time. She needed dialysis, and because she was bedridden, she had to travel by ambulance three times a week from Oregon City out to Cedar Hills near Beaverton for treatment. This was wearing her down, and during our visit, she hit me with this question: what will you, meaning my younger sister and brother and I, what will you do if I stop going to dialysis? Wow. Knowing the obvious result of no more treatments, I really had to think about my answer. I finally said, "Ma, remember when Carol died? We cried. We cried a lot. And then after her funeral, we all gathered at your apartment out there in Canby. And it wasn't too long before we started to remember and we started to laugh. All those wonderful memories. I said, that's what we're going to do, Ma. We're going to cry a lot. And then we're going to start to remember and we're going to laugh. My friends, we still laugh today. We laugh because she taught us to. Fortunately, she didn't have to make that choice because 3 months later, she made it to dialysis, but she died in the ambulance on the way back. And we did just what I said we were going to do. We cried. We still do. And we laughed. And we still do. I love to laugh. If you visited our home and saw our video collection, you'd see Victor Borga, Buster Keaton, Laurel and Hardy, and many, many others. My favorite books are those written by Patrick F. McManus and his stories of growing up in Idaho and adventures of hunting and fishing in the outdoors. My other favorite book is the Bible. Of course, I know it's not a funny book, not intended to be, but I believe we can find humor in it. Because I'm a movie fan, when I read the Bible, I like to get things in perspective, sort of set the scene, as it were. Now, don't get me wrong. In no way do I mean to poke fun at the Bible or to be sacrilegious. Sandy and I have had the privilege of hearing a professor of theology and biblical history by the name of Dr. Steve Lewis several times. One of the things I remember that he stressed, when you read the Bible, use some imagination. Don't just pass over the words. And that's what I try to do. Let me give you a couple examples to show you what I mean. The first one comes from the book of Deuteronomy. You know that book. It's all full of laws and rules that we don't pay any attention to. But here, Deuteronomy 20 is the rules for going to war for the soldiers. Okay, so let's take a look and see what's going on here. Get a picture in our mind. Here we got all these recruits and draftees all lined up, waiting for their instructions. And here's what it says. Starting in verse 5, the officers shall say to the army, has anyone built a new house and not dedicated it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle and someone else may dedicate it. Captain, all I got to do is move the furniture in. Is that close enough? Yeah? I need a couple guys to help me. So off they go. Next one. Has anyone planted a vineyard and not begun to enjoy it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle and someone else enjoy it. Hey, Frank, you still need a partner for that new vineyard you got? Yeah? We're out of here. Get the picture? What's going on? Here, it's right here. This is a good one. Has anyone become pledged to a woman and not married her? Let him go home, or he may die in battle and someone else marry her. Larry, your sister married yet? No? Captain, you got to go. Larry's my best man. We're going together. And out they go. They saved the best one for last. Then the officers shall add, is any man afraid or faint-hearted? Let him go home so that his brothers will not become disheartened too. Really? When the officers have finished speaking to the army, they shall appoint commanders over it. Are you serious? There's not going to be anybody but a couple of the dimmest bulbs left. Cancel the war, folks. Just a little imagination. My other example comes from Matthew 14, where we have the beautiful story of Jesus teaching and then feeding the 5,000 men and women and children besides with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Wonderful story. And in the chapter, it goes on to continue the story. And this, I think, in this part is where Jesus shows a great sense of humor. Maybe you've never thought of it, but listen. So after he's fed all the people, Jesus and the disciples are walking down the hillside, walking down towards the lake. And as they're going along, Jesus is thinking to himself, you know, I've been teaching and preaching, and I've done these wonderful miracles. I'm not sure these guys are getting it. They just don't understand. I think I'm going to have to do something to shake them up. So they go on down towards the lake shore, and a bunch of people come around Jesus, more people looking for healing. Jesus tells the disciples, you guys go get in the boat and start rowing across the lake, because they're going somewhere else. You guys go get in the boat and start rowing, and I'll catch up with you later. Well, it was late and they were tired, but it was Jesus, so they did what he said. After some time, one translation says it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, when they were well away from the shore and fighting the wind and the waves, Jesus starts walking out towards them, walking on the water. It was dark. When he gets close enough, somebody in the boat sees him, but he's not sure, and he says, look, what is that? Must be a ghost. And Jesus comes a little closer, and somebody else in the boat will say, no, look, it's Jesus. And then Peter would say, Master, is that you? Is that really you? Master, if that's you, tell me you love me and to come to you. And Jesus, Peter, I love you. Come to me. So Peter hops out of the boat, or climbs out of the boat, and starts walking towards Jesus. And he gets a few steps, and then he realizes what he's doing. Oh, no. And he starts thinking, help me, Master. Master, help me. And Jesus laughs. Hey, Peter, what's the matter? Not enough faith? So he lifts Peter up and they get back in the boat and off they go. And in the Bible, that's pretty much the end of the story. Or is it? I can't believe that the disciples would let that go. And I think probably the next morning at breakfast, the banter would go something like this. Yo, Peter, man, that was some stunt you pulled last night out there on that water. Yeah, Peter, what happened? Man, you started sinking like a rock. Get it? Rock, Peter. To which Peter replies, yeah, okay, you guys go ahead and laugh. But at least I got the master's point. Did you? And what about us? Do we have enough faith? Oh, not to walk on water. I wouldn't suggest that you try that. But do we have enough faith? Is our faith strong enough that we can cry and risk appearing to be sentimental? Is our faith strong enough that we can laugh and risk appearing to be the fool? I'll close with these two quotes. First from Donald E. Demaray. Let laughter reign when it comes. It is oil for the engines that rise to challenges and work miracles. And from Barbara Johnson, laughter dulls the sharpest pain and flattens out the greatest stress. To share it is a gift of health. Amen.